now. You're coming together. Is your undoing.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Matt and Andrew started a podcast called Step and Repeat, covering the latest movies and their award season potential. This is your co-host, Darth Matt, speaking.
I'm dying!
Was not prepared
for that, but this is your Jedi Master Andrew speaking.
On this week's episode, we invite a very special guest to the show. She is a bigger Star Wars fan than you and me. She's been across the galaxy, saved worlds, and defeated the Sith. Welcome, Princess Meredith.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the connection to the Star Wars universe?
Young Padawan.
Yes.
All right, I am Meredith. I actually met Matt and, I guess, Andrew through a job I had as a film publicist. So movies have been a very large part of my professional career. Star Wars was an obsession that started very young. I'm sure most people listening feel that way as well. My dad introduced me to it, gave me this really ugly Yoda doll from the 80s. I watched the VHSs, never thought I'd have one to follow when I was an adult. And then when I worked at Disney in college, I worked in the Star Wars section of the park. So that just rose that level of obsession a little bit higher. So it's been a lifelong...
Sorry.
Special sound effects.
Sound effects by Darth Matt. Now 30 years in, Star Wars is still a big part of my life, and I've introduced it to as many people as I can.
Continues to be.
Yes. Yeah. So hopefully they keep growing the franchise and taking all my money, but...
Meredith knows all.
Yes.
When it comes to Star Wars.
Princess Meredith.
Princess Meredith.
Thank you. That's a great title. Yeah.
Or General Meredith now.
Okay with that too.
Yeah.
Whatever titles you'd like to bestow upon me today and all days.
Yeah. So on this week's very special episode, obviously we're going to be covering everything Star Wars. So all the Star Wars movies, as well as the latest Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So this is going to be an all-Star Wars episode. And fair warning, we will be discussing spoilers. So if you have not seen The Rise of Skywalker,
turn this off now.
Fly away, go see Rise of Skywalker, and then come back and listen and enjoy.
Yeah.
So if you're all ready, let's jump into light speed.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I loved it. So we did not know Matt was going to do that introduction, which is why we were dying.
He was typing something, and I honestly, selfishly thought it was an introduction of me and not a crawling intro like the beginning of every episode. So that was a treat.
Well, Darth Matt surprises.
I love that you just like automatically put yourself on the dark side. This is great.
Okay.
Well...
If the shoe fits, you know.
True.
And we're wearing Star Wars shirts. So I am wearing a shirt from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
I am wearing a Yoda shirt.
I am wearing a shirt that says, "May the wine be with you." Because it combines all of my favorite things, Star Wars and drinking.
And it is Saturday morning, and we are all sipping on mimosas as well.
We need to drink.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Oh, and we have a lightsaber.
Sound effects.
This is a very special episode. Okay. Should we start off with Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, sure.
Let's dive right in.
Go right into lightspeed, as Matt said.
Yes,
okay.
Jump into lightspeed.
Meredith, as our special guest.
I mean,
what are your thoughts?
I'm still emotionally recovering from the end of the Skywalker saga. I liked the movie for what it was. I know that our opinions may differ. I know that Matt and my opinions of episode 7 and 8 have very much differed.
What are those?
What are, I enjoyed them.
Okay, so I hate Force Awakens more than anything in the world. I think it's awful, and I think you know that as well. I thought Last Jedi was okay. I didn't love it, but I also didn't hate it. Yeah. And then we'll get to my review of Rise of Skywalker.
We'll get to why Matt feels this way about the movies, but I appreciate them for what they were. J.J. Abrams had to reintroduce an entire franchise to an older generation who had grown up with something specific and a brand new generation that this is their trilogy. This is their Star Wars. So I've just appreciated it for what it is. Totally. I think I am very tied into the nostalgia of it all, having been just so into 4, 5, and 6 as a small child. There were some parts, as I'm sure everyone agrees with, that I didn't need in Rise of Skywalker. But I think overall, I really enjoyed it. I may have different thoughts, you know, when it's more than 24 hours after I've seen the movie, because as I was telling the guys before, I left the theater and was just emotionally drained because it's the end of a very big part of my life. And I know that Disney will find some way. I mean, as with The Mandalorian, it's a brand new episodic series, but who knows what they're going to do next and who knows whether or not I will like the character that they feature.
Yeah.
So
I feel the same way about like the digesting it all. Like it's only been, you know, 16 hours since I've seen it. And I'm like, wait, how do I feel about this? I keep going back and forth too. I have a feeling Matt's going to want to have the last word if I'm wrong. So I'm just going to go into my sort of opinion. And I thought the last 20 minutes were great, were really great. I thought the first 2 hours were really rough. And this movie would have been awesome if it weren't for one character, and that is Palpatine. If Palpatine was not in this movie, this would have been so much better, I think. And I want to talk about this because like I don't know why they brought him back. And I'm still trying to reconcile that. And because I think the story totally worked without him completely. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why? I have so many questions, most which are why.
Yeah.
But loved like the last 20 minutes. And that's why I keep coming back to it. Like, wait, maybe I liked it because I left the theater feeling good because of like the end. And I really like the way that they wrapped things up and where they're going. But that also leads me to think that they only had an end in mind and then that they wrote everything else to get to that point. So, but Palpatine, man, that was not good.
In the trailer, hearing his voice, obviously we knew he would be featured. I thought it was going to be a flashback.
Same. I thought it was just going to be a small thing. Force ghost,
something like that. Did not think that whatever path we all went on for 2.5 hours was going to be the path that we ended on.
The whole plot is Palpatine.
Yeah. I get it, but I don't. And you're saying you really enjoyed the last 20 minutes. And I get that. I went on a whole roller coaster of emotions. I really want to say the part that I really did not need, but I want Matt to.
Oh. No, I like this. Keep going. This is down the path.
Wait, because I. Okay, what was the part that you really didn't need?
I did not need Kylo Ren and Rey to kiss.
No, I love that. That was my favorite part of the movie.
I get it. And there's a lot of fans that have been waiting for that for 2 episodes because they have a chemistry. I mean, besides whatever duality that Palpatine or Snoke or whoever had connected their brains, and then we see Kylo Ren shirtless in an episode for no reason whatsoever. I mean, it was fine, I guess. But
Adam Driver was in the Marines. He's got a great body.
Looks good.
Yeah.
But I didn't need the kiss. I get it. I get that other episodes, I mean, Harrison Ford was the first person I ever had a crush on. And there's romance between him and Leia. Obviously, they created a child. But I don't know. This romance was different than the original trilogy. But that's just me.
They, like, okay, so the Kylo Ren Rey stuff, like, defines the trilogy for me. I think, like, that is, like, the most interesting stuff that they dive into. They have this weird sort of chemistry together, like, from the get-go, but especially in The Last Jedi, too. So it's this, like, weird sort of attraction that I was always just like, what is going on? And I like need more of this. So I just love it every time that they're on screen together. And I think they like really hold it up. And it's like very Star Wars in the fact that it's like kind of incestuous now that we know that Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter. And so well, like and that
it's,
fit.
It's the light and the dark in both of them, and the light in her fixing the dark in him, or whatever you want to say. And I mean, Matt can get into it before we really talk. Yeah. Like, spoilers. But
it's just so weird. It's weird. And then I was like, when it happened, I was like, wow, that was, I kind of wasn't expecting it, even though I should have been. And that just like made it, like it made my eyes pop in a way that like the rest of the movie, I didn't really, my eyes didn't pop. And so it was kind of like, oh shit, this is so cool. Yeah. And like, love that they went there and just leaned into their total weirdness.
Well, like people in my theater, there were some people applauding, and I turned to my fiance and I audibly said, no.
Yeah.
And there were people around me groaning.
Same.
So you have just total polar opposites. I don't think there was anyone in the theater that was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Like, I don't think there was anybody who didn't care. Yeah. It was either you liked the kiss or you didn't like the kiss.
Yep.
But anyway.
My audience had the same reaction. Half of them were groaning and the other half were cheering.
I was just like, no, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matthew.
Well, so I had the opportunity to see this a few days ago.
Oh, did you?
I did.
It's an early screening.
I did, yes. Aww. So I've had some time to let it sink in.
It's better than us.
Yeah, I know. We are still processing.
So coming out of the movie, I like was cringing. I was like, I hated that. That was awful. That was terrible. I didn't like anything about Rise of Skywalker. And after I've let it sink in for a few days, I feel the exact same way.
That you did after you saw it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought this movie was a travesty in the Star Wars universe. I thought it was unnecessary. I thought I was really mad when I heard J.J. Abrams was coming back. And I said, this is going to be a complete and total rehash of Return of the Jedi. And that's exactly what it was. So if you watch Return of the Jedi right before you see this, without all the Jabba the Hutt stuff, which you did, and you can't tell me that it was not a rehash of Return of the Jedi.
So I actually came into this having known offline that Matt and I differ in our opinions of the newest trilogy, and that it is. I agree with you that as a three-act arc, it does...
Without all the Jabba the Hutt stuff,
it
is a rehash of Return of the Jedi, just like Force Awakens was a rehash of
I get
a
it. I get what you're saying, and I... But I do think just as an arc, there are going to be some similarities.
Yeah.
So, so I do agree with you.
Okay.
That there are, it is very mirror image-y. But I think that it needed to be that way to set up the arc.
Well, I know we've already like dived in and like we're already like three stories in. And, like there's just no like digging out of this like trench that we're already just like remaking the original trilogy. But that's like my big problem with this is we're just remaking the original trilogy for a new generation. Why can't we have what is so hard about having something new? This is why I love Rogue One so much, is because it is a new, it is a story within the Star Wars universe, but it is a standalone movie. It's a separate story. And I think it's very, very well done. I also really enjoy The Mandalorian, even though it's kind of boring. It's a new story. It's something we haven't seen before.
Well, I do like the episodic arc of The Mandalorian, that it's a show and not that you're sitting there for 2.5 hours. Like, it gets you in for 30 minutes or whatever, and then there's kind of a cliffhanger and you're like, oh, I enjoyed that. So maybe as a movie we wouldn't have enjoyed it the same way.
It's a procedural. The Mandalorian's like each episode they're essentially on a different planet. So it's like, okay, what's gonna go happen now?
And I get Matt's frustration with that, like the three episodes are the same as 4, 5, and 6, but having just binged 1, 2, 3, which I hate, if I have to rank, which I do all the time, if I have to rank all of the Star Wars movies in order of what I like them, 1, 2, and 3 are always towards the bottom. It usually goes like 3, 1, 2, because I enjoy the lightsaber battles in 3. But
I actively like 3.
Yeah, it's actually really, I mean, besides Hayden Christensen. Yeah. But I see, having just binged all of them, I see a lot of similarities in 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, 8, and 9. And I think it is the light and the dark and the fighting for what's right and what's good or ambition. Like, every character in each of those trilogies is going for kind of the similar thing. And I think it plays off of, this could be relevant in any time. You have, like, the... This is how democracy dies with applause, from the prequels. And then in the newer movies...
The rise of Nazism, yeah, essentially.
Or like Poe is saying, like... Or I guess it was the... Carrie Russell's character tells Poe that, you know, people are behind you. They win if they think you're alone. And I think that that plays out in all of the episodes. So I think... that there had to be some similarities between the prequels, the original trilogy, and the final trilogy, just to show that things never change.
But see, I'm fine with the theme staying the same. That's okay with me. It's the story. It's the same three-act arc. I understand, you know, good versus evil, balancing the force. That's all fine and good. What I'm not okay with is taking what I know in my childhood, what I love, and just remaking it for a new generation. I wanted to see, because this is not, yes, like it is for a new generation, but it's also the stories that we grew up with and we love. And of course, we're going to see it too.
Yeah.
And a lot of it also, like, just, like, a lot of, like, the story parts, like, just didn't make sense to me. And I also had I had a big, big problem with them bringing back the Emperor. I felt like...
Well, how did you feel, Meredith, about the Palpatine Emperor?
So I had all kinds of theories after The Force Awakens about who Rey's parents would be, because she's, and this might be totally off base, but she speaks with her British accent and other British actors spoke with an American accent. And I always thought that it had something to do with the only people who speak with a British accent in the show are
like royalty. Dark. Oh, yeah.
Like the
kind of, yeah,
the people in First Order are British. So I thought that there was something there. Kind of thought that she'd be descendant from Obi-Wan because he's also kind of British, but I didn't know where she would fall. And I think it would have played out exactly the same way if she was nobody.
Yeah, no, totally agree.
I didn't need Palpatine there at all.
Yeah, like Rey could have just been this like really powerful Jedi that Palpatine just wanted to like tap into her power. Like, well, why did he need to be her granddaughter? Like
Palpatine wanted to tap into Anakin. Anakin was created by midichlorians, which in the prequel we have all kinds of problems with, like, where the hell did the midichlorians come from?
Midichlorians don't exist. They're not a thing.
I know, but Rey could have been the same kind of thing. Yeah. Like, she was descendant from nobody, but she was powerful in her own way, and it could have just been, you know, with a rehashing of the Anakin story, that Palpatine found another young, powerful for no reason Jedi that he thought he could change because there were things in her that were dark.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I appreciated about The Last Jedi was that she was a nobody.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like, okay, that's kind of a cool thing. Like,
yeah.
But then I feel like this movie, instead of like focusing on something new, like running with this story, J.J. Abrams was just giving one giant middle finger to Rian Johnson.
It's
unfair.
Clear he hated The Last Jedi. Yeah. He not only like completely ignored shit that happened in The Last Jedi, he like course corrected stuff that they did in The Last Jedi.
Like from the very beginning, when you see like the clones of like Snoke, I'm like, what? Come on.
That was weird. Dude. That was so weird.
Like, you're making it very obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think that, and I think other people have said this, that if there had been the same creative team over three episodes, it would have turned out totally different. And that was kind of an oversight on Disney's part, Kathleen Kennedy or whoever you want to blame it on. Abrams had done all three, it would have been totally different. Having Rian Johnson was a strength and a weakness. Yeah. I mean, I know that you preferred The Last Jedi over The Force Awakens, and that might have something to do with Rian Johnson. Yeah. I know. But, I mean, I know we differ in this. I like what J.J. Abrams did with The Force Awakens.
Me too. I like The Force Awakens.
Yeah. So I was glad to see him coming onto this, and I was glad that they were able to use footage of Carrie Fisher that didn't fit into episode 7. It was a little weird.
Want to come back to that, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all know.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't... I think if they had J.J. Abrams do all three, it would have been a totally different trilogy. Because, as you said, he felt like he had to course correct from something that happened in a movie he didn't do. And so that kind of made it weird.
Yeah.
Like, things that we had been talking about for the past 2 years just didn't matter anymore.
I think it was a mistake to bring him back. I think it was great that he, like, started it, too. But if they even had another director.
A new director.
A new, yeah. I would like, why did it need to be J.J. Abrams?
Or the same creative team for all three.
Yeah, exactly. So all three new or all the same.
Yeah. And this is, I feel like this is also the problem with Return of the Jedi is that it was a completely different creative team from the first two, from Empire and Star Wars. And I feel the same way with this. It's just, So, but I want to get back to Leia in a second.
Yeah.
Sure.
So do you guys know how much she actually filmed Carrie Fisher before she died?
I only know that J.J. Abrams was using, so she didn't film anything specifically for 9 because she died
right before 8 came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in this a lot, though.
Well, so J.J. Abrams has said in multiple interviews, and I'm sure I could find an article to post on the Instagram page or whatever, that he had footage from 7 that didn't fit in 7 that he was able to use in 9. So I was going into this knowing that every time I saw Carrie Fisher, I was like, how did J.J. Abrams fit this in there? And I think that there were times that it worked really well. And then I think that there were other times where I was like, why would this have even happened in 7?
Yeah.
What did you cut from 7 that fit here? And I'm glad that she made an appearance. We can touch on, you know, Force ghosts or non-Force ghosts. I mean, having just died. I mean, Matt was with me when we saw The Force Awakens, and I had to go on a walk before driving home because... loss of Han Solo and the fact that every time there's a bridge in a Death Star or anything similar, there's no handles, there's no railings, and people just fall off. And they make the same mistakes in all 9 episodes to the point where Chris, who is a brand new Star Wars fan.
Chris is Meredith's
My fiance.
Fiance, sorry.
So when he is watching these movies back to back to back, and last night he's like, oh no, there's a hole, they're going to fall into it. And like, he's right. The same things happen in every single movie.
History's repeating itself.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that every one of the original 3 made an appearance.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too, but like the Leia stuff was so dry and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, I love Carrie Fisher, and like, I'm so sad that she didn't get the opportunity to finish out the trilogy, the new trilogy. But like, this is where I think the movie went so far south, is that they felt the need to come back and give a tribute to Carrie Fisher, which is great, but they added her in so much that they had like a beginning, which was just, let's pull the shit that we filmed in episode 7. And then we know where our end wants to be. And then let's bridge the two together. And then everything else was a mess.
It was distracting.
And, yeah.
It was very distracting.
It was.
I felt like all of her scenes, I knew that they were coming from, knowing what I knew that they were coming from Force Awakens, it was like, oh, where were they going to put this in? Just exactly what you were saying. Where were they going to put this in? What were they talking about? And to me, it was distracting. There was just too much Leia.
I kept wondering because now we live in this world where James Dean comes back from movies.
Yeah.
Well, like, I was like, is this actually Carrie Fisher?
They did say that they weren't going to CGI her because...
Yeah.
They did it for Rogue One.
Well, and her young... Well, there was
and
a lot
they did
of,
it in... There was
a lot of uproar about the Rogue One because she had also... literally just died but I had heard, and I don't know if this is true, and I don't know where I heard it, that Carrie Fisher was supposed to be the last Jedi, like episode 9, and I think it was her family that was saying that episode 9 was supposed to be her arc, that she was, so I think they had to totally course correct because she passed away, so they still had like her in mind. Like, it was a lot of adding Carrie Fisher unnecessarily, and then she died, but then at the end she disappeared.
So
it was weird. It was so clunky.
I want to talk about her death. So in
which they probably only wrote in because she died in real life.
So
like it's
so in the last one in Last Jedi, we see that she is all this all-powerful being, that she can float through space.
Yeah, like, what?
So I'm like, oh my god, like, so she's way more powerful than we thought.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
So in this one, she force projects, or force, like, speaks to Ben, to
Kylo Ren. Yeah, she's connecting with him somehow.
But somehow that kills her? Which I don't understand. Like, that should not take that much effort.
So I was thinking about this last night. That Luke force projected to battle with Kylo Ren in 8.
Yeah.
Right. But that was a full-on battle. That was a full-on...
No, I know. But then he,
took it out of him so much. Then he, oh, yeah, yeah.
From the rock.
But I feel like that he killed him. Like,
I think he decided that it was the end. And I think that was what happened with Leia.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
And
But why? Why wouldn't she want to see this thing through? Like, why wouldn't she want to see the end? She's like, you know, Rey is essentially like her kind of quote-unquote like daughter-ish. But like she's like raised like... her as a Jedi, she's helped trained her. Like, why wouldn't she want to see this thing through? Why would she just want to disappear? And I want to also one thing I want to talk about the funeral scene, like where they're all around her body. Where the hell was Billy Lord? I would
I didn't see it, but
she was probably somewhere in the back.
Just as a nod to her, because Billy Lord is her daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was in this one a lot.
She was in this one a lot. I would have put Billy Lord in the room.
She's in
the
last
one
a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just glad to see. As a creative, decision, I would have put Billy Room, front and center. Like, in the room, front and center.
No, that's also true.
I was like, wow, that's her mother. You know, maybe she didn't want to be. I don't know the story.
I didn't pay attention.
I was like, where is Billy Lord? I thought that would have been important.
My issue was, why is her body still laying there to the point where when Kylo Ren disappears, her body also disappears? Like, why didn't they give her the full Jedi funeral? Because we didn't know that Leia went through training.
That was a brand new thing.
Like, oh, Leia went through training because she saw her son.
They invented all this shit because Carrie Fisher died. Exactly. Like, they just, threw all this stuff in there.
We didn't know that she had gone through training.
There are so many.
That's cool, but if she had gone through training to be a Jedi and she was Rey's master or whatever, I put quotes around master, what level of Jedi was she? And we're hearing her voice and she's force projecting or whatever it is with her voice. Why was her body still laying there for us to see her body disappear after Kylo? And what is it that Kylo Ren disappears into the force or whatever? That was her last connection to the Earth, and then she also disappeared at the same time. That was so weird. These are things I just didn't understand.
I liked the Ben, meaning Ben Solo, and Leia, connection.
Oh,
but, that's about it.
I enjoyed that, but I also had questions. Okay, but how? And these people are far more brilliant than I ever will be, and I'm sure that
should be.
Yeah, there are going to be brilliant people making up characters that we don't know about until the end of time.
I disagree. I feel like if we sat down at a table and hashed out a new trilogy, we'd make something so much better.
Maybe, but you know, so maybe. And I was thinking on my way home last night as I was driving, I was just talking to myself, and I was I can't really question why they did these things, because maybe they are just trying to show that it was her last connection to the Earth or whatever.
Yeah. And this is why I want to watch it again, because I'm there's so much going on. It's every 30 seconds there's something new.
And now I know I want to look for. Yeah, Billy Lord not being, I didn't even think about, is Billy Lord there? There's that one curly-haired lady greets Poe, and it's she's gone. Who are you?
They just, I feel like everything jumped from one thing to another so quickly that there was just no time to either one digest or two figure out what the heck was going on.
Yeah, there was no proper.
They were just trying to shove so much.
It was a lot.
And there was
no come down.
Not only were they trying to shove so much story, they were trying to do too much. They were trying to shove too much story into a 2-hour movie. Plus, the special effects in the battles were just out of control. It was just too much. It was too much special effects. It was just too much in your face all the time for 2.5 hours. I just was overwhelmed, and I was just at least at least The Force Awakens has some kind of a story, whereas this was just in your face all the time.
I would argue this is the same story. Actually, can you refill me too? this is the same story as The Force Awakens, in the sense that like, they're searching for this map that will lead them to this place.
She's a scavenger, where they can, and they keep saying she's a scavenger, and she's scavenging for the knife and the little pyramid box thingy that's going to show her where Palpatine is. And she's scavenging. But she's scavenging, and she's scavenging in a second.
So, which... coming back to something that you were talking about earlier, Meredith, what Force ghosts did you like, and which ones didn't you like? Or if you liked all of them, that's fine too.
I appreciated Luke coming back when she was trying to throw the lightsaber into the fire, because it mirrored him burning the Jedi texts and Yoda showing up, being like, "What the hell, dude?" Like,
thank you.
You should respect this a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think it showed a growth in Luke, because Luke was also a whiny baby like Anakin. The problem that everybody has with Hayden Christensen is that he's just a whiny charisma. Little brat.
Yeah.
The entire trilogy. I read a theory recently that I meant to send to you guys that.
Please share.
There's a theory that Padme was under, like, mind control.
Ooh, I love this
idea. Anakin the whole time, because when he met her, he's like, "Oh, are you an angel?" And then her whole behavior in episode 3 was just so out of whack for what a strong character she was. But anyway, rewinding.
This is not that smart.
I enjoyed Luke appearing as a Force ghost because it showed growth, that he accepted, you know, problems that he had had in the first two movies. I mean, I hated. Matt was with me when we saw 7. And I was like, are you kidding me? All we're going to see is Luke staring at Rey while she hands him the lightsaber. Like, that is the only Mark Hamill we're going to see in this entire movie. That was so disappointing.
Episode 9 is the only one of the sequels where they all speak together or in the same movie.
Yeah. So
the original three, I mean, Mark Hamill and all of them. Yep.
So having Han show up, I audibly was like, what? Because he's not one with the Force. In the first trilogy, he was like, no, that's nonsense.
So
I loved seeing him, and I'm glad that Harrison Ford, even though he wanted to die in the first trilogy, was like, okay, yeah, I'll come back. And I like that he convinced his son to renounce the dark side or whatever. But I think it could have been done without Harrison Ford.
It's funny you should say that, because I had somewhat of a different reaction to you. I'm glad you said the same stuff about Luke, because I, even 16 hours removed from the movie, I was like, I remember that Luke Force projected, but, like, I don't remember what he said. And so, like, it wasn't that memorable of a scene to me. So you talking about, like, the mirroring of The Last Jedi makes me appreciate that a little bit more.
Of, like, I've been thinking about this a lot this morning, that, like, when they were in Dagobah, Yoda brought his ship up from out of the water.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
Luke did
you're
the
right.
same thing for Rey. And it was just like showing the power of what the Force could be. But anyway.
Yeah, no. What you were saying. No. This is why we have the podcast. I'm glad, like, bring out these opinions. I thought the Han Solo, I can't even call it a Force projection, because I don't think it was a Force projection.
It was a memory.
It was just like, a thought.
You kind of did say that.
It was
too.
A visual memory.
Yeah. And, like, that worked really well. That was, like, one of the emotional high points of the movie for me. And, like, it was really good to see Han and Ben / Kylo, like, together and, like, share a sort of loving moment.
And he, like, did the whole thing touching Ben's face that he did right before Ben killed him.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was, like, crying. I laughed. I cried. I cheered. I was upset. Like, there was a whole roller coaster of emotions throughout the whole movie. But when I was seeing these, like, he did the same thing with his hand, because we had just watched episode 7, and I, you know, I'm, like, curled up in a ball on my couch just, like, sobbing about the loss of Han Solo, but he did the same thing, and Kylo Ren said, "I know what I need to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it."
Yes, I noticed that, too, yeah.
It's like,
I think Kylo Ren says in all three movies, "I know what I need to do." Like, I think that's his, like, his line.
He's not a very creative guy. Yeah.
That said, Kylo Ren is, like, one of my favorite characters of the trilogy.
Oh my god.
The newest trilogy.
Kylo Ren is the weakest part of the trilogy.
No, wait.
He had done the entire Star Wars.
He is a whiny little.
You finished.
That's why I love it. That's why I love him, because I think he's, like, so realistic, and he kind of, like, Adam Driver sells the like progression of character to me of somebody who can kill Han Solo to somebody who like heals Rey and like saves like the entire fleet. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm into this. And I love like just the way that they handle Kylo Ren completely. And like, that's why I think Rey and Kylo Ren just like completely make the trilogy, the new trilogy for me too. I love that he's whiny. I love that he's like a brat and like he kind of grows beyond that too. Like, he's a complex sort of character.
Well, and him being a whiny brat was very reminiscent of Anakin being a whiny, ambitious brat, except Kylo Ren had an arc where he changed. Whereas Anakin just continued going down the dark side. I did, as somebody who does not really love the new trilogy as much, have a favorite character from the newer trilogy?
Okay, so I do like, I don't love him, but I do appreciate Finn. I like Finn. I like the new take on the fact that he was a stormtrooper.
He made a stormtrooper friend. Yes,
I kind of did like that plot. Loved that. And I was actually
at the expense of Rose, who got completely sidelined again. Course correcting, exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to see more of that. I love that story. I really like the story.
Well, so I was trying to think of where they're going to take this moving forward. I loved Billy Dee Williams coming back as Lando. I loved the party world, wherever they're having that celebration.
Yeah.
And then
it's an Endor, right? At the end or the, like in the
beginning.
Middle.
Chewie maybe sort of dies and I'm crying.
I hated that, by the way.
So, but I loved Lando Calrissian bringing it back. Loved him being there, you know, being like, well, what would Leia do? What would Luke do? What would Han do? I love that it was Lando and Chewie in the Falcon at the end, because I've always had problems with the fact that immediately after Han died, Chewie let Rey pilot the Falcon, because in the original trilogy, it's always that like Wookiees are very temperamental and like you always let the Wookiee win. And why would Chewie not be more upset about losing his best friend? Why would he be so like, okay, yeah, Rey, here, take it. Like, I liked you a little bit before my friend died, but like, yeah, no, sure, replace my friend. I've always had problems with that. So the fact that Lando, who was the original owner of the ship, was part of it, I really like that. And I like that cameo. At the end, when he's talking to Finn's new stormtrooper friend, whose name I can't remember right now.
It's like, I thought it was like implied that she was his daughter.
But he was like, where are you from? And she said, I don't know. And he said, well, let's figure that out.
I kind of liked that though.
I like that. Because I think it's a place that they could go next. Backstories of the newer characters or stormtroopers, just stormtroopers in general who rejected.
And this is the reason why I think they overstuffed the movie, is because they don't know where they're going from here. So they were just throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks and to see what sort of franchise we can launch next.
Yeah.
I think that is
Naomi Ackle.
I liked her. I liked her in Finn a lot.
I thought she was great. Yeah, like, she was a great actress.
I wanted to see more of that.
I loved Finn's arc overall. I was prepared for him to die on that ship. Like, I really was, which is so sad. And I mean, I'm glad that he didn't. And I loved the hug between Poe and Finn and Rey when everyone was back. Like, that was... I thought that would be a fine ending. Her going back to Tatooine, I was like, I was already emotionally done with the movie. I didn't need her to go back and say, you know, I'm Rey Skywalker. I did not need that. I get it. And I'm sure other people feel differently. But.
So, a couple of things.
I have a big problem with that, by the way. So we'll come back to that.
I want to come back first to the, like, the launching of, like, other sort of franchises. Like, I think that is why they brought in Keri Russell for the Zori character, because like she's like a kind of interesting person that you could see like a lot of side conquests with, the same thing with like the Mandalorian. So like I'm looking at this and seeing like all these potential like Disney Plus
making
they were like weird sex jokes
but like, I think there could be like a Poe and
Yeah, her. Exactly. And like I could totally see that coming. And like it kind of worked. I thought Carrie Russell was like pretty good, other than I don't know why they like hit her face the whole time for somebody who's such a famous actress.
Well, she's supposed to be like the new bounty hunter, like the new Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So like that, I understood why they did that.
Well, like they did the same thing with Phasma too. Like they cover a lot of people's faces, and they do it with the Mandalorian.
How often do stormtroopers take off their masks?
But these aren't like stormtroopers, and so I don't know.
Phasma's
maybe I just
like
don't know.
In charge of stormtroopers, so I always kind of thought that she like was a promoted stormtrooper.
But like
got new armor.
But again, that's something they never talked about.
I know.
That's a storyline they never talked about, which.
But that could be a spinoff.
It could be something.
I know. That's my point. Could be a spinoff. It's like, and they're literally throwing everything in the wall and see what sticks, or seeing like what lands into like the public discourse, and then they'll like go off with that. Disney will go off with that because they know it'll be successful. So like they're seeing what everyone talks about. So if people talk about Zori, like they will have a Zori movie. Speaking of Zori, before we come away from this, fucking love Babu Frick.
Oh yeah,
my God. So funny. And then when C-3PO
Babu
was like, he is one of my oldest friends.
Yeah,
like, that killed me. And C-3PO the whole time, like
C-3PO was great.
Like, so sassy and like kind of negative throughout every movie, and I love that it's always been the same guy. But like, but. In this one, he's like, don't worry, I made it. Like, I got
you. You didn't ask about me, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
I would watch a 3-hour
movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like,
it's also funny because when I was a kid, I, like, thought 3PO was annoying. And I think I'm the only person who thought this one as a kid. I was like, why are we, like, watching these droids? Like, they're annoying. He's just, like, whining all the time. And as an adult, I'm like, I love you, 3PO. Yeah. You are a mood.
And his relationship with R2-D2 has always, like, had a very...
Oh, yeah.
A spot in my heart.
Yeah.
And it just the end, like, when they were saying goodbye, and then R2-D2, like, gave him back his memories or whatever, I was like, this is adorable. Like, because C-3PO was like, I would remember if I had a best friend.
I've always had a close relationship with K2SO from Rogue One.
I know, because when I saw Rogue One, I was like, Matt, you are K2SO. He was one of my favorite parts of Rogue One.
The older I get, the more I relate.
Yeah.
The new droid was a dud.
He was cute, though. I mean, like,
it looked
as
cute.
Somebody who was given every bit of paraphernalia for BB-8 after he came out.
Yeah.
I love BB-8.
Love BB-8.
Do you know who the voice was?
J.J. Abrams. Yeah.
I'm out.
But, I mean, he was cute. And I wish that they
cute.
Played...
He didn't act cute,
even
in my
his,
opinion.
Like, the fact that he could actually say real words, or like, because he'd be like, no thank you, or whatever. Like, I thought that was cute.
Like C-3PO.
Yeah. But, like, not as intelligent as C-3PO. I wish they played more off of him knowing that guy was going to get Rey to bring her to Palpatine.
Yeah.
Because they only really touched on that at the end, that the droid knew where the ship was going. And I wish that they had played off of that more. And we never accomplished or touched on what Finn wanted to tell Rey when they were sinking.
I keep thinking about this. So I liked the fact that they didn't ever say this, because I'm like, okay, we'll never know, and now we'll always speculate. So for the discourse's sake, I like that, but also, why bring it up at all? Like, why even put this in the movie? Because, like, it was like, you could have it either way of, like, oh, is Finn in love with Rey?
Yeah.
Or is it a, Finn, I know who you are?
That was exactly the whole time I was thinking that it was either Rey, I love you and I've never told you, or Rey, I know who you are, because I was part of that.
Well,
side.
So I have that's another thing I have a big problem with, is like, apparently everyone knew like who Rey was. Like, apparently, like, Leia.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, like, I'm like, who, like,
how'd you know?
It's something they don't explore. It's another thing they don't talk about.
And when did Palpatine procreate?
What? Yeah. Who wants to fuck the Emperor?
Yeah.
Like,
his son was really good looking.
Hot. Yeah.
But who are his children? Like, we were never.
I know.
Yeah.
This was so annoying, because this is what it was. They had their cake and ate it too.
Right.
Because one of the best things about The Last Jedi is that Rey, you're no one. And like, Rey could have been this all-powerful person who came from nothing, and that is a really great storyline. But then they came back and said, Kylo Ren has this monologue where he says, like, oh, they were no one because that's how they saw themselves. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, because they saw themselves as like nobody, then they like rose up from this. And like, no, they were always like something and they just course corrected completely. And now like Rey was like always like destined to do this. And it's like, okay, this is the path that we're on. And
yeah, but what's their backstory? Who fell in love with Darth Sidious? Like, when did he have time?
Again, another Disney Plus thing. Yeah, like, that could be.
That could have been
taking
like,
over the Senate.
That could have easily been like a prologue. They could have, like,
yeah.
even like a 10-minute prologue. They could have, like, talked about the backstory.
I mean,
yeah, like, who were they? Like, who were
her
they?
Parents.
We
yeah.
know that Anakin.
Why can't we just keep Rey coming from no one?
And I agree with you. This is one thing that I think we can agree on. I think she could have.
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you on several. I don't think you like this movie as much as you think you do.
No,
I like it for what it is. I have problems with it, but I left it, as Andy said, I mean, it's only been 17 hours, but I left it feeling good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As I said, I was on an emotional roller coaster. I've been digesting it.
Speaking of emotional roller coasters, can I ask you, did you think Chewie was dead?
Yes.
Okay. No body, no proof.
I didn't notice
two destroyer or transports.
Yeah.
So I get, because we had seen him in the trailer with Lando, so I was like, is that a cutscene? Like, what's happening? But, like, I didn't notice two transports. So when they said, like, oh, we have somebody really important, I was honestly relieved that it was Chewie, because Chewie was always my favorite character, like, of the original trilogy. Like, yes, Leia was the only female role model, and Han Solo was a sexy, scruffy nerf herder.
That was the one scene I was glad I was not in the theater.
Chewie was like just such a loyal friend, and I've always had issues with, like, when Han died, Leia hugged Rey. She didn't hug Chewie. Chewie had experienced a loss.
They've already come out and admit that that was a problem.
And then like Maz gave Chewie the medal from, like, because Chewie didn't get a medal, and it was like Han and Luke getting a parade.
Yeah, I thought that was a little.
Yeah,
that,
it was a little much, but I appreciated that it was Leia loved you, because Chewie did take care of Leia when Han was frozen in carbonite. It was Leia and, like, Chewie, like, hugging off to the side. Like, I do think that they had their own special relationship, which could be explored in its own way. It could be its own Disney Plus story. But, like, I don't know. I wish that, I mean, as Matt said, they have apologized for that. And I like that there was some kind of, like, closure there. But I wish that Chewie was respected a little bit more.
I didn't like the way that they edited the scene that Chewie died. I thought they could have done it a little better. Died, quote unquote. It would have been better had they changed the order of things. So you see Chewie get on a ship, and then you see a ship blow up, and then everyone's like, oh, no, Chewie!
Yeah.
And then they have this moment where they're like, oh, like, Chewie, let's mourn Chewie for 0.5 seconds. And
which then then I knew he wasn't actually dead.
And then, like, and not even after that, like, a minute after that, you find out Chewie didn't die. So it was kind of like, wait, why did we go through it in this, like, sequence? It's so much to take in the course of, like, literally 5 minutes.
It hurt.
And, but, like, it... let that sink in. Like, let us think Chewie died for, like, a 30 minutes or something. And then they come back and say, like, oh, you know what prisoner we have? Chewbacca.
It was too quick of a turnaround. And the spy.
Well, I was going to get back to that.
I actually kind of liked the spy thing.
I liked the spy, but he was found out too quickly.
Yeah. It was so quick.
It was
so
just
quick.
Boom.
You're right.
I wish that there was a little bit more.
We were on this spy thing for all of 15 minutes.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
Before we were like found out who the spy was.
Yeah.
That is something they did not explore at all. And then we find out it's General Hux. And I'm like...
I think that's good.
Okay.
Well, I think it's good that he was the spy.
Yeah.
That
for
fits
sure.
for his character.
But I just
But the way they were... like, I'm the spy. And, like, that's it. Like,
yeah.
Like,
but,
you're dead.
At the same time, that was somewhat unexpected. It was kind of like, so I liked that subverting of expectations. It was like, oh shit, we just killed him. I was like, ooh, cool, this is interesting.
I just wish that same thing with
Chewie,
they had maybe waited half
an hour. Yeah. There was no, like, see, this is what I'm saying about they were trying to put too much in.
They were trying to fit too much in. I agree.
Too much in, and there's no story behind this spy. Like, you could make a whole movie about who this spy was. But again, it's just like, Yeah. We're trying to put too much in. I will say, I did like Richard E. Grant, though.
Richard E. Grant was so good.
He was fantastic.
He was eating up the scenery and loved every minute. He was the person who felt like he was the most excited. Yeah, yeah. He was the most excited to be there, and I was like, he's loving it.
Poor Kelly Marie Tran was like, oh, I don't think I'm welcome here.
No, really.
You have to wonder if they, like, hated her. But you have to wonder if she didn't want as big of a role after the reaction that people had to her after the last episode.
Yeah.
I mean, she got off of social media. Same thing with Daisy Ridley, but I think it's a different level. Like, people really hated Kelly Marie Tran in the last episode. And so you have to wonder if it was kind of like they wanted to keep her there because she had that relationship with Finn. And there is still some kind of, I mean, even when he was like, I have to stay here with the ship. And you could tell she wanted to be like, no, don't do that. Like, you're my friend. So she had to be there in some capacity, but I wonder if she just didn't want to.
She pretty much served like an exposition standpoint, where she just like was standing around and saying things that are happening instead of
Billy Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I
but wish she's
she,
always
I know
she's
I wish,
always been that yeah. character. Like, she had. Like, Billy Lord had, like, nothing to do the whole trilogy.
I think they only brought
her
in a little bit more every movie because Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Because she was barely in it in 7. I mean, and she's a fantastic actress. I mean,
I don't think I've seen her in anything else.
She's in American Horror Story.
Which season?
She's in the last, like, 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm, like, behind 2 seasons.
She's in Scream Queens, right?
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to Billy Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that same thing with Kelly Marie.
Very underplayed.
Like, yeah, they all could have had larger roles that could have been explored a lot more than they have. And I mean, I like that Finn found another stormtrooper friend, but
they didn't even address Rose.
Yeah,
at all.
And
like,
he and Rose
like,
had their own
something.
Special thing, and they, having just watched the newer movies, like. When Poe and Rey meet at the end of 7, he was like, yeah, I know who you are. And I kind
eight.
Of...
Eight. Yeah.
Sorry. like, I know everybody really loved the bromance between Poe and Finn.
Myself included.
And
I am so
too.
Attracted
and
to that.
Like, that they were both generals, and they were just so happy about the other one, and I really enjoyed it. But, and I, as I said before, I liked the three of them. Because they were the new three. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Because you had Poe was just the racer, kind of like Han. And there was a lot of similarities from the first trilogy. But I thought there would have been something more between Rey and Finn. I didn't ever see it going in the Rey and Kylo Ren direction in the first movie. I thought that they would be connected. And obviously there's that duality or whatever that Emperor Palpatine was like, oh, I've been the voice inside your head the whole time. Like,
no.
Snoke.
Yeah, I know.
Snoke said,
how convenient.
Yeah, Snoke said, like, I connected the two of you. So again, one of you said that J.J. Abrams erased what Rian Johnson did. That's one of those things that, like... Yes, Emperor Palpatine created Snoke, who then put the voices in each other's heads, but...
It's funny you mention that, because I think the Kylo-Rey connection, as in, like, they see each other, even though they're not, like, next to each other, is the only thing that J.J. Abrams kept in Episode 9 from Episode 8, and I always loved those scenes, because it's very disorienting, and so... Like, loved that they kind of, like, went in to explore that.
Sense.
But, like, yeah. But you're, like, right with, like, Palpatine, who's, like, okay, not to digress too much, but number one, how's Palpatine, like, still alive?
Yeah,
he's, like, hooked up to this, like,
okay,
shit.
Now we're getting to my issues. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Hold on. But going to, like, them
but,
talking
like,
when
but
they're
it's
not
just so convenient.
Together and he, like,
yeah.
ripped off the necklace. Like,
and
how?
And like the lightsaber, they transfer the lightsabers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stuff,
well,
like,
I knew that was
so much. Yeah.
Before it happened, I turned to Chris and I was like, he's going to take his mom's lightsaber. Like, he is a Skywalker. He's embracing the Skywalker side.
How,
of
though? Like this
I know.
Is
no,
something
I have problems
we have,
with that.
Like, this is something that the Star Wars universe has never discussed. And so.
I think it's a why problem instead of how.
It is a why.
Well, they're connected. So, those two things are connected.
So there's a lot of things this movie does that are not explained or not. So the whole transferring the lightsabers and like the force projections, like, okay, like we've kind of touched on it, but so the force healing though is something I want to talk about. If you have not, and I know you guys have mentioned you have not seen The Mandalorian, the last episode. In the previous episode, the one that just aired this week.
But we knew force healing was a thing.
I didn't. When did we find that out?
I just like reading shit, I think.
So I had no idea. Where the heck did this come from? I have no idea what you're doing. And except I was, and I had seen The Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, before I saw the last episode of The Mandalorian. You need to see The Mandalorian in order to understand where force healing comes from.
But not everyone's going to see it.
But if you don't see it, you're going to be confused. If you do see it, you're going to be like, oh, okay, are these guys descendants of Yoda? mm-hmm. I don't know. I have a big problem with him, like, just not explaining anything. So there was no...
Well, they do force healing, like, 80,000 times in this movie.
Right, exactly.
That I could suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I totally bought into the force
healing. But there's no explanation, and there's no, like...
And it's never been done before. It's never been done before. And kind of like, okay.
But what I was saying is it's done in The Mandalorian. The episode, the day that came out.
Yeah, no, and I knew that.
The episode the day before it came out. So it's like, if you haven't seen it, you're going to be confused.
But see, suspending your disbelief. I haven't seen it. I wasn't that confused. Because they had introduced so many.
But if you're going to have force healing, then why not heal everyone who's ever died before?
I think it was something that they learned over time. Yoda was the most powerful of all of the Jedi. And I think that, because we see Yoda teaching Obi-Wan to, you know, this is how you disappear into the force and become a force ghost. And I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I haven't seen the newest Mandalorian episode because I ran out of time. And her healing that weird snake thing, I was like,
that was just weird.
Okay,
it was just weird.
That happened.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened before, but I kind of just, I think with all of the Star Wars episodes, I just suspend my disbelief because things are introduced all the time that just don't make sense.
There's so much you have to, like, suspend your disbelief on, and I just, I don't know. I feel like Empire was so good, and the original Star Wars was so good because everything was explained, because it was a slow-moving... slow burning story that had a cult following.
Well, and that's why out of the prequels, like, I don't like the prequels, but 3 introduces so much like really important information, like the rule of 2. We haven't learned about that before, and I think that introducing that in episode 3 was really important for every single episode after that.
Yeah.
So, I think the episodes that have more background information make more sense and are a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah, I don't really. 1, 2, and 3 aren't my favorites, but I don't hate them.
I mean, they're lower on my list.
Yeah. But so there's so much less charisma in like 1, 2, and 3. It's just like so much like explanation and just like plot that's like going on. Whereas I think in the sequels, like, the acting really comes out, and the people make things exciting. Like, I think everyone's a good character and a good actor in all the sequels, and they, like, do everything that they can. Yeah. And so, like, that elevates a lot of the material, because the writing in 9 is not that great.
I mean, I think in all of them, the middle movie of each trilogy is more of just, like, a filler. Like, as I rank all of the movies.
No. Empire is one of the greatest movies of all time. Empire
I mean, it's really good, but
within the context of the trilogy.
Empire is the original.
No,
I think Empire Strikes Back is like the... I think it's the best Star Wars movie.
I rank it like 4, 6, 5.
Okay, well...
I mean, we differ, and that's okay. Yeah. We're allowed to differ, and as we said before this, we're all going to hug and make up after this is over.
So, yeah. So if we're going to get into, like, rankings now...
We don't have to.
We don't have to.
I was just saying, like, out of the prequels, which I really despise, 3 is cool. 1, I like the pod racing, but the whole, like, Anakin Padme thing is really weird because he's a child. And then when she sees him again in 2, she's like, you're still the child that I knew.
They're not as far separated in age as you think they are.
No, I know. Yeah. But, like... I think she's only
4 years older than
I know. And if you listen to the Weird Al song, he says something like, he's just 9 and she's 14. So that's always like what comes out of my head.
Yeah.
But I like the pod racing. 2 is just like the but three I really like. I love Ewan McGregor and him as Obi-Wan as its own series.
That will be its own series.
Yeah, I would pay all the money in the world. But I also liked Qui-Gon, and I wish Qui-Gon was there.
Yeah, that's one thing I was
Darth Maul as a villain? Amazing.
So the
Let's dive more into Darth Maul.
So a big problem with the prequels is that... So the originals had the overarching villain in the originals and the sequels. There's an overarching villain that connects all three movies. Mm-hmm. The problem with the prequels is that there's no overarching villain. There's no overarching like big baddie that connects the three of them.
Yeah.
So in episode one, everyone was like, "Oh my god, Darth Maul is so cool! Like, I would have loved to explore like his like the Sith Lord that who Darth Maul is and explore that and Count Dooku. Mm-hmm. If they would have brought him in episode one more as like the Emperor role, that would have been cool. But they really screwed up big time in the prequels totally by not having an overarching goal.
And knowing about it later on about the rule of two, it makes more sense that there couldn't be more Darth Maul or more Count Dooku. Mm-hmm. I mean, just with everything happening. But yes, they totally, it's a missed opportunity to have more Darth Maul. I think he should have his own spinoff. I think Lando Calrissian should have his own spinoff because the guy who played him in the Han Solo movie, I hated Han Solo.
Solo? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but,
movie?
No, the guy who played him, whatever.
Alden. Is Donald Glover?
No,
Donald Glover played Lando Calrissian, and I think he was perfect.
Aldrich something or what
Alden is it? Yeah. See, I hate him so much I can't even remember his name. And he had to go to freaking acting classes. Cool. He wasn't a good enough Han Solo. But if there was a Darth Maul spinoff, a Lando Calrissian spinoff, and an Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff, I'd be good.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn, I think, needs a little bit more exploring there because Yoda's like, your master learned how to connect with the Force, blah, blah, blah.
Qui-Gon Jinn is one of my favorite characters.
I love him.
Him and Darth Maul were two amazing characters that George Lucas introduced.
I know.
And I wish in these new this new trilogy that more characters like them would have been introduced.
Well, I thought they had great characters in the new trilogy. I don't think they had great characters in 9. But I think
Babu Frick.
Yeah.
We can all agree.
Yeah.
We love Babu Frick.
Yeah.
And Carrie Russell's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could have been built upon a little bit more.
That's the Mandalorian.
I keep wanting to call the
female Mandalorian.
I keep wanting to call Carrie Russell's character Lizzo, but it's Zori.
I'm just gonna call her Lizzo.
Yeah.
No,
she's 100%.
Yeah.
100% that bitch.
Yeah. Darth Maul and Qui-Gon, I mean, their battle is insane.
Yeah.
But I think they could have been explored a lot more. And if you're going to remaster the original trilogy to include Hayden Christensen as the ghost of Darth Vader, give me a Qui-Gon Jinn ghost and not just his voice. Because I know that there were a million voices of Jedi telling Rey that all of the Jedi live in her, blah, 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 blah. Fine, but like, give me more Qui-Gon. Give me more Obi-Wan. Yeah. Like,
see, all that stuff in Rise of Skywalker just like felt so unnecessary to me. It's like, okay, we're just gonna throw in voices to say like to have a nostalgia effect of Qui-Gon Jinn and like Mace Windu. Like, it was just like, wait, why? And like, what does this add to the story? What does Mace Windu have to do with Rey?
Or... And there are voices you don't recognize unless you've watched the cartoons, which, as a Star Wars fan, I haven't watched all of the cartoons because I'm just not, like, into cartoons.
Yeah.
But, like, there were voices, I mean...
Well, there were nods to the cartoons, apparently.
Offline, we were talking about Vanity Fair, and I can send you the article later. There were women voices that she was listening to, and they were people from the cartoons, like Star Wars Rebels or Star Wars Clone Wars or whatever. I've not watched those, so there were a lot of voices I hadn't heard. So listening to this montage, I was like, okay, so like there's just 5 million Jedi we've never met?
Yeah, and like that's the thing that like I don't necessarily like, and it's like, oh, you can only be like a true Star Wars fan if you've watched everything and know it all, and that just like, I don't know, I just like don't think that fits.
Yeah, and he was like, all the Sith will live in you if you take me down, but like, we don't really know the percentage of Jedi who leave and become Sith. Like, I'd really like to dive into, like...
And we don't know what percentage of Sith who even become Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But, like, we know Sidious.
Yeah.
Like, Darth Maul, whatever. But, like, how many other Jedi went to the dark side that, like, the Sith will live in you?
You know what? You know what can't take down the Emperor? One lightsaber. You know what can take down?
Two
lightsabers.
Perfect.
Anyway, I don't know how much I can talk
about. Throughout all of the nine, John Williams, MVP.
Oh, totally agree. I've been soundtrack, listening to the soundtrack.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think this movie...
I think his soundtrack is better than the prequels.
I mean,
I think it's great. I think it's great.
I think his soundtrack is the best in the prequels. I do. And I will defend that.
I don't know about best, but yeah, he's great. Yeah.
I mean, like...
It's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. If you like, he takes his music in the original, in 4, 5, and 6. Well, quote unquote 4, 5, and 6, and revamps it for the prequels. And if you go back and listen to it, if you listen to the soundtrack of especially episode 2, it's phenomenal. If you take that soundtrack without any of the context of the movies, his soundtrack is incredible.
Yeah.
And I think it's very unrecognized.
He's been nominated for an Oscar for almost every single time.
But I don't
time.
Has he yeah. won an Oscar.
He has, but I he don't know if he's Oscar, won for Star Wars. I think he's been nominated almost every time.
Like Oscar,
so there's
he's been nominated for the past two, definitely Last Jedi and Force
Awakens. So I know you don't like the whole Padme Anakin story. That's fine. But he does this rendition.
I mean, I get it.
His rendition of Across the Stars
is
beautiful.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely beautiful.
He adds a level of emotion that Hayden Christensen cannot portray as an
actor.
So
he has to be that.
He is, for me, John Williams, and his music is
so And the rich. End, there's the end scene of episode 2 where Hayden Christensen's, where Anakin goes and he sees the fleet that the Emperor has made. John Williams' score over that is like breathtaking. It's like unlike anything you've heard before. If they would have done the CGI a little better, it could have come off maybe a little better. And then it goes right into Across the Stars where they're getting married. And it's just like if you just listen to the music, it just makes you tear up. Yeah. That being said, I would have done the prequels a lot different, but.
I think everyone would do the prequels.
I do not hate them. I do not.
Yeah. I don't think I went into them telling my fiance that I hated them and that I was like dreading watching them with him. And as I was watching them, like, yes, I don't like Hayden Christensen, but like one really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Jar Jar didn't annoy me as much as
Star Wars Episode 10, Justice for Jar Jar.
But
you heard it here, JJ.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there
was JJ stands for Justice for Jar Jar.
Justice for Jar Jar. But like, or maybe he's Jar Jar Abrams.
Oh.
But
now you have me thinking.
The new the prequels and then these newer trilogies, like whatever problems you have with them, they're visually stunning. CGI or not, it's
Skybeam.
It's amazing to look
at. Yeah, No, it's kind of funny because I'm obviously like of a certain.
They're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in your face the whole time.
I know, but I get that like it was a bit much. Like the battle scenes were a bit much, like you said earlier. But I
remember.
I like it.
There is a sort of. I'm going to get sentimental for a moment, but there is something about the prequels that like resonates with me because. I'm obviously of a certain age, so the prequels were the only thing that I got to see in theaters like before. And so I remember they re-released the original trilogy right before the prequels came out. And I remember I went to like go see those in the theaters with my dad. And it was like so exciting to do that. And like I saw that because I was so excited for like the new ones. Mm-hmm. And I saw all the new ones, and I collected all these Pepsi cans that had, like, their faces on it. And, like, I totally bought into all of this because I was so excited by it. And, like, that was my sort of generation that grew up with this. And that's what does make me very excited for, like, the future is I log on now to Instagram and I see friends who have kids who are like dressing up like Rey or Chewie or somebody, and I see them being excited about something that I was excited about when I was a kid. And so you see, like, the torch passed down, and, like, that, like, thrills me that, like, other people who are much younger than I am are jazzed by all this. Yeah. And so I just, like, can't believe that it's had this much of an impact on society, and it's for the best. I think it's great.
But at the same time, as I was saying earlier, I was leaving the theater really sad because my kids, whenever I have them, won't have what you would call their trilogy. You know, like, we grew up watching the ones on VHS, and then we saw the prequels in theaters.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I skipped school, and I was having, like, a lightsaber duel with my friend who was in town because we had, like, the whole theater to ourselves for episode one, and then episode two was coming out shortly thereafter, and they were just doing a re-release. But, like, what are my kids going to get to watch in theaters? You know what I mean? Now that there's Disney Plus, and now that there's streaming services, like, what's the future of Star Wars?
Well, we didn't – I mean, I guess we didn't know after – the prequels ended they were going to go. So I think the assumption, I think we all assume they're going
to
do something, but we just don't know what that's going
to
be.
I guess we're in closing now.
well, we're wrapping it up with sentimentality.
So when George Lucas came out with the idea for Star Wars in 1977, people believe that he had this whole 9-story arc. And, like, he, like, had written this all down. And, like, while that, okay, like, he might have had an idea, he really didn't.
No.
Like, he came out with a movie.
And I think
Star
that's
Wars.
Okay.
And that's okay.
And that,
that's okay.
It could have been
he came out with a Star,
yeah.
He came out with a movie called Star Wars, which, unbeknownst to everyone, blew up. It became a cultural phenomenon. It was one of the greatest, I mean, I'm going to say it's one of the greatest movies that's ever come out, ever released.
Agreed.
And it had a cultural impact like no one would have expected. He made a sequel called Star Wars, not Episode 5, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, that did even better than the original.
Yeah.
Because he went in greater depth and detail of these characters and their connection to each other. And to this day, The Empire Strikes Back is the greatest sequel. Not talking about Godfather, but is the greatest sequel of all time. Empire Strikes Back is, in my opinion, the best Star Wars movie. Then he took that money and ran with it and said, we're going to do Return of the Jedi. We'll finish this trilogy. We'll do Return of the Jedi. And then a few years later, he said, okay, now I've got this idea for all these movies. We're going to slap episode titles on them and we're going to do this whole thing. And so from there, I feel like was the downfall of Star Wars. When I was a kid growing up, like you said, Andrew, I saw the original Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back re-released in theaters, and I saw it with my dad, and it was a magical experience to me as well. And this was around the time that Lord of the Rings was coming out as well, and Harry Potter and all this, so like all the movies that kind of shaped our generation. And I remember, like, just falling in love with Star Wars all over again. But then, like, the prequel episodes came out. And at the time, like, I just kind of soaked them in, like, actual movies. I didn't compare them to the bigger Star Wars universe as a whole. And that's why, to me, like, they're fine. Like, I don't have a problem with them. Being, like, 32 and where I am now in my life, I go back and reflect and look at all the Star Wars movies and how it shaped my childhood. And I don't have a problem with it. And now, in today's world, grown up, you know, being the person I am today, I guess I can't find as much joy and excitement out of the new movies that the younger generation can, or that you guys can, because maybe I am so affected by the original movies that came out, the ones I grew up on. And I just, maybe I find frustrations and I have anxiety with all the new plots they're introducing. And I don't want to love them as much. And maybe I loved Rogue One so much because it was a connection to the movies I saw originally as a child. And I don't want to see a rehash of the new movie or of the old movies. I don't want to see that. I want to see something new. I want to see something different. I've already lived that life. I've already been there. And I think it's great for the kids who love it. And I really love that kids are dressing up as Rey. And I think that, like, I love kids found, like, you know, passion, and little girls find, like, you know, they find inspiration in Rey and Leia and all the women and the minorities who are represented in Star Wars. And I'm also really proud that Star Wars introduced has queer representation in this new movie.
Yes. We didn't even talk about that.
That was lip service at best.
Yeah, no.
I was excited in the moment. Like, I just appreciated it for what
two background characters share a kiss. Yeah. Like, it's better than nothing, but it's not.
It's better than nothing.
I don't think they should be patting. I don't think they should be patting themselves on the back for that. I am proud
that they are going above the Twitter sphere and doing this and introducing LGBTQ characters in the Star Wars universe. Are characters. It opens doors. It opens doors. And people need to accept that. I like what they're doing with Mandalorian, that they're exploring these side stories on Disney Plus. I did not appreciate Solo as much as some people did. But still, I
hated it.
I don't think there were that many people that liked Solo, Matt.
I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. But this new Star Wars, I cannot find anything really positive, that positive about it. We have like so many complaints and like so many frustrations and issues with it. I'm trying to find the good in it and I can't. I'll watch it again
One thing that I like about the new trilogy is that it, especially in The Last Jedi, it brings up these sort of like existential sort of questions of what is good and what is bad. And I think like the prequels and the original trilogy are very clear on there's a good and there's a bad. And then the sequels kind of take this stance around like, yeah, like it doesn't really matter. It's all the same.
Everyone has good and bad.
Yeah. And so I love that about the sequels. Like, I think that's like a good lesson in the way that like everyone thinks they're the hero of their own story. So that really catapults the sequels for me and makes me think of them differently, and it challenges my thoughts and opinions on how to view morality.
But then don't add 500 new characters
agreed. Like, they're flawed.
I think it's helpful knowing where you're coming from with the prequels. Like, I appreciate that you're looking at, you know, that 4 was its own thing, 5 built on that, built on the characters, closed out some storylines, and that you're looking at it as like 6, he took the money and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and like, I'm only a couple years younger, but I see it a little differently, that like, I have just a very nostalgic feeling towards the Ewoks. Like, 6 is my favorite because you have these like tiny murder bears. But like, I like 4 because it's the original, right? Or, you know, it wasn't called 4 at the time, but I like 4, and then I like 6 because of the tiny murder bears, and it like wraps everything up.
Are you talking about
Ewoks?
Ewoks. I was gonna say Wookiees, but they're big.
And Wookiees are like the same thing.
Wookiees are big murder bears.
Yeah. But so I think it's helpful to know that's your perspective on 6, and mine is a totally nostalgic perspective. So I'm going at these new movies.
But if you took the nostalgia goggles off.
No, and I do agree with you. If I took the nostalgia goggles off, as we've heard this entire time we've been talking, I do have problems with the new trilogy. But I'm looking at it through nostalgia goggles. And if I see it a couple more times, I might look at it like the prequels, like, oh my God, there's too many storylines. And oh my God, this acting, Hayden Christensen sucks. But like, I do think it's helpful what you said, that, you know, we all have different perspectives. Yeah. But I also like what you said, that like,
I see new things in the trilogy too.
The new trilogy has new, there's the blending of the light and the dark. And I mean, we touched on that a little bit before, that Luke was like, I see good in him. But this really builds on it more, that like, Rey destroyed that transport with the force that you've only seen on the dark side. You know? So like, there was more of that, like, everyone has good and bad in them.
This is why I gave myself Sith Lord, Matt.
I mean, I get it. I get
Jedi Master.
Jedi Master Andrew. So we are at two opposite spectrums.
I am a princess who also has force powers.
All right. Well, I think we've
If you've made it this long, thank you.
I think we've really dissected Rise of Skywalker enough. So I don't. Should we move on to? Are we doing?
A slightly fun Oscar revisionist history.
Sorry, we know. Sorry about the length.
The Oscar revisionist history that we'll do this week is who from the Star Wars universe should have been nominated for an acting Oscar that was not. Keep in mind that the only person to be nominated for an acting Oscar for Star Wars is Alec Guinness for A New Hope in 1977.
At the time, just called Star Wars.
Yes. But so he does not count. So this is another way of asking who is the best actor in the Star Wars universe,
Does Hayden Christensen count?
Yeah. This isn't the Razzie Awards.
I apologize for any noises that came through the microphone right there.
So I've been holding my tongue every time you guys talk about Hayden Christensen because I do not think Hayden Christensen is a bad actor. I think the writing is so bad in the way that they portray Anakin is that he did the best with what he had.
I've seen
movies with Hayden Christensen where he's very good.
I see where you're coming from, but like for me, it's all goes back to...
What else has he been in since Star Wars?
He was in this great movie in like 2001, but but Life is a House, which was with
the only other one,
he was so good in that movie, and like that's what got him probably the Star Wars role, and
he was good in that movie for playing Hayden Christensen.
But and I think you've made a really good point about the writing, because what goes back in my mind, and like any friends of mine who are listening to this, the line that I always remember Hayden Christensen saying is, "I hate sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating." And like, yes, his delivery of that was terrible, but who writes that?
Yeah. Like, why are we talking about sand?
And now every time I see a sand planet, I giggle because I think of how Anakin hates sand. So I do think it has a lot to do with the writing. And a lot of the stuff that people have problems with the prequels is the writing. I do think Ewan McGregor, great.
Yeah, no, that is a good counter-argument.
Even with the writing, I don't know if he needs to be nominated for anything. But I think if he does do this spinoff of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think that would be some spectacular acting. Because for me, having gone from... Because we watched them 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, because that's the
order my children watch this.
Yes, is the order in which I watch them, and everyone in my life will now forever watch them. When you watch Alec Guinness and then you watch Ewan McGregor, it fits just like Donald Glover fits Billy Dee Williams, and I love that. So I don't know if Ewan McGregor deserves to be nominated for anything, but he is my favorite actor out of the prequels.
Okay.
I think that's a great answer. I said this earlier in the podcast, but I've been very impressed with the way Adam Driver has handled things. I think he's fantastic in the whole new trilogy, and he sells the entire arc of the sequels for me. And if I had to nominate him for something, it would probably be The Last Jedi. Because I just like think that's where he has the most character progression in a singular movie, and it's like the most interesting. So he's my MVP. Otherwise it's hard to single out one actor for me.
Okay, I don't know if this counts.
Is it a droid?
No. Well, no. Okay, yeah. Alan Tudyk for K2SO. Yeah.
He wants K2SO. It's going to be something from Rogue One.
It is from Rogue One. Yeah. I would nominate Forrest Whitaker as Saw Gerrera from Rogue One.
Good. Cool.
I think he's one of the best characters in Star Wars universe.
Well, and Rogue One was just a brilliant standalone.
It was a great movie.
I get what you're saying about not loving the trilogy and the rehashing. Like, if more of them were standalone films, mm-hmm. I think they could have been really powerful. Mm-hmm. I loved Rogue One. I mean, that's something, a lot of these new trilogy movies, you know what's going to happen, so the rewatch value isn't as good. But even though you know what happens at the end of Rogue One, it's still easy to rewatch. Like, it's just a powerful movie throughout.
Yeah.
Is how I feel about it.
No, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I would nominate everyone from Rogue One. Felicity Jones and Diego Luna.
Diego Luna, isn't he getting his own Disney Plus show? I think.
Is he? I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I think his character from Rogue One is getting his own Disney Plus show.
Cassian Andor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
K2SO should have, like,
K2SO needs to be in it if he is getting his own Disney Plus show.
No, he needs, you know, like, an Ask Forky. Like,
Forky asks a question. I don't know.
K2SO needs to be like, yeah. You know what, bitch? No.
K2SO brings you back down to reality.
Yeah. He is 100% that bitch.
I love it.
Cool.
Anything else?
Do we want to do final grades?
Yeah. Kathleen Kennedy, hit us up for episodes 10, 11, and 12, please.
Wait, I think
final grades? I wasn't prepared. Well, come back to
every time. So I'll go first then. My critics hat would give it like a C. And my Star Wars like fan hat, which is would probably give it a B minus.
Are we also ranking Star Wars movies?
I mean, we can.
We could, yeah.
Do you want to rank?
This is very spontaneous, but...
let me reference my notes.
Yeah. Okay, and I know this is aggressive. Number one, The Last Jedi. I just rewatched it and loved it. And think it gets better with each viewing.
That's
so,
going
to
explode right now.
One, Last Jedi... 2, A New Hope. 3, Empire Strikes Back. 4, Force Awakens. 5, Return of the Jedi. 6, Rise of Skywalker. What am I missing?
Oh, no, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it makes sense because the prequels.
No, I wasn't including
I was
prequels.
Like, wow, that's really high.
Yeah. Did I say 6 Rise of Skywalker?
Yes.
I'm missing some. I'm missing 2 of the prequels and... Oh, I didn't do Revenge of the Sith, did I?
Phantom
Oh, I would put Revenge of the Sith above Rise of Skywalker. 6 Revenge of the Sith. 7 Rise of Skywalker. 8... Phantom Menace, 9, Attack of the Clones.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
Can I do my ranking and then give my grade?
Do you want to
really have my critic grade. Also, my rankings are all via episode numbers.
I can go if you want.
Sure. All right.
So, my rating for Rise of Skywalker is a D+.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that low. As a critic, it's a D+. As a Star Wars fan, it's a D+.
He went there.
Yeah. So I have my ranking of Star Wars movies. Number 1, Empire Strikes Back. 2 is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. 3 is the original Star Wars. 4 is Return of the Jedi. 5 is Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. 6 is Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. 7 is Solo, A Star Wars Story. 8 is Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. 9 would be The Last Jedi. 10 would be Rise of Skywalker. And finally, 11 would be Force Awakens. Sorry.
All right. To make things clear, I do not rank Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I do. Literally anywhere.
Saw it on my birthday a couple years ago, and I was livid.
Sorry.
So it is its own thing, and I don't put it in there. It's hard for me to fit Rogue One
into
my ranking.
I don't put them anywhere.
Did,
yeah.
But
I
we do. Didn't.
They're movies. They're Star Wars movies.
No, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I get
didn't
it.
Put that in our rewatch because we ran out of time, honestly. So.
I mean, you can eliminate them, and it's still.
No, I was just saying.
Yeah.
It would rank very high for me. probably higher than the newer trilogy.
Yeah.
So, wait, do you... I'm going to read the title so I don't get it wrong, because I have mine all as numbers. Yeah. Oh, you don't know. Sorry. I thought you had, like, a Google sheet. Okay.
Number makes sense.
Yeah, I think okay. So. So, for me, it is the original Star Wars, episode 4.
Okay.
Then episode 6. Mm. Then episode 5. Then
Jedi Empire, yeah.
Yeah, then Force Awakens. Then Rise of Skywalker. Then the Last Jedi, 8.
Wow.
Then we go back to 3. I enjoy the lightsaber battles in 3, and I like everything that unfolds. 1 for the Phantom Menace for the pod racing. And then 2, because I just hate 2. Rogue One would probably rank somewhere after the first trilogy. So that would probably be my fourth favorite Star Wars movie. I don't really have a critic's hat because I watch everything as an enjoyment and just please take me out of my daily routine.
Yeah.
I would give The Rise of Skywalker a B+. But I think that's more of just my Star Wars fandom and my nostalgia goggles.
Take your nostalgia goggles off. What would you give?
B-.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
But
I feel like I would like it more the second time around.
There are problems, but there's a lot. I mean, as you said, like I didn't even notice that Billy Lord wasn't there when they had the thing for Carrie Fisher. So
I wasn't thinking
there's a lot I need to watch again, and I was just going into it totally open-minded, even having seen people bitch about it on Twitter as much as I didn't want to.
I am the Twitter. At this table, I am the Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a B. It's all an right, average all right. movie.
Cool. Well,
I this guess. Was great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Sorry that you all had to listen to me forever.
We will have you back. Definitely again, but definitely for the next Star Wars.
You know what would have been really funny? If J.J. Abrams told us all. And when they sunk in the sand, it would have been directed by J.J. Abrams. That's it. I would have loved this movie. Oh, I said, that's it. I'm done. Oh, this was great.
I did love the end. We never talked about that, but Meredith and I think both like the
ending was so stupid. Why are you wearing the lightsaber?
You know why they did that for Disney Plus, so someone can dig them up. You know why they did that.
There's no reason. Tatooine was a terrible planet for Leia and Luke.
It wasn't even a planet for Leia. Yeah. Exactly. It was all Luke.
Luke was abused there. Why are you burying?
He wasn't abused. Yes.
Well.
He was a moisture farmer. Yeah.
Child labor laws.
No, he just didn't want to farm. He wanted
that planet. Why are you burying the lightsabers there?
I mean, do you...
If anything, bury them in Naboo.
But Rey is a little bit idiotic.
Yeah, what does Rey know?
But I know you and I kind of agree that like the ending really tied some things up.
I like that she's a Skywalker.
Yeah, But I was fine without her becoming a Skywalker.
Oh, no, I loved that.
I wouldn't have touched this earlier.
I loved the fact that she's a
Palpatine and changed the, the name.
You could choose. So this is the one thing. This is the one thing, and this is why she didn't need to be Palpatine's granddaughter, is because they're saying you can choose who you want to be like in life. Like
your destiny is not determined by where you come from.
Then why do you have to be a fucking Skywalker?
She should just say, I'm Rey.
Yeah.
I have no family name. It was weird that some stranger
doesn't need to be a Skywalker.
No, but that's how she identifies. No, she can choose whichever way she wants.
Then I would embrace the Palpatine name and change it.
No, I mean,
but she has no connection to Palpatine. She is
a Palpatine.
No. By blood, not by the way she identifies.
How does she identify as a Skywalker?
Because they had an impact on her life the way that Palpatine's didn't.
But see, here's the thing.
Poe Dameron and Finn had an impact on her life.
And if she felt that way, Organa. She could have obsessed that. Yeah, if she felt that way, she could have
She's a culmination of all these characters. She's not just a Skywalker.
No, but that's
why does everyone in the
That's how she identifies. She herself identifies as a Skywalker. That's important.
She's trying to identify.
Like, who cares? It's not your point. It's her decision to make.
It's J.J. Abrams. It's not hers.
Is it or is it not weird that a stranger on a camel asks you what is your family name.
Agreed.
Couldn't she just end it saying,
I'm Ray. Yeah. I'm Ray. Yeah.
It doesn't matter because
that would have been so much better.
I see what Andy is saying, that it is the people who raised her into being a Jedi, right? The Skywalkers helped her find the Force. Yes, she is Palpatine by blood. She just found that out, though. So, like, unless fast-forwarding to 5 years from now when she's, like, accepted her Palpatine heritage, I think it would have been far more powerful if she was just Rey.
My parents were Palpatines. I'm Palpatine. Yeah. I'm going to embrace the name, and I'm going to change that name.
I did it, but she could have just been Rey. But also, I didn't need to bury the lightsabers because my nostalgia goggles, everyone's hugging, and it's the end.
So, Luke and Leia have a lightsaber, by the way.
We already discussed this. We didn't know about her training. But, like, my nostalgia goggles, when everyone's hugging at the end, I'm sobbing. Because it's the end. It's the end of an era.
It's not the end. They're going to do...
No, but it's the end.
There is no end to Star Wars.
No, but hold on.
As long as it keeps making money, there's no end to Star Wars.
But it's the end of the Skywalker saga.
No,
it's what they're billing it as.
No,
they're billing it as that. So I'm thinking, like, okay, it's the end. And then it's like, oh, JK, she's going to Tatooine. I didn't need that. Like, I get why you like that. I liked that it, like, all tied up with a little ribbon before she went to Tatooine. I get why they did that.
I put a little ribbon.
I get why they went to Tatooine, but I think she could have just been Rey.
Agreed.
You guys, just for everyone to know, Andrew and Matthew were like at each other's faces.
I was standing up, like pointing my finger.
I had my lightsaber. Yeah.
I started sinking into my chair, like sinking into black quicksand, diamond dust, or whatever they were sinking into. It was a lot.
So. You know that meme where, like, they're standing up with the cat? Matt was the cat in that meme, and I was yelling at him, pointing the finger.
Yeah.
And now we're all going to hug and make up and move forward.
Just like the end of...
Yeah, yeah, we did agree. We were going to hug.
We're the three. And we're going to hug, and it's
Wait,
the end.
I call Poe. I'm Poe.
That's fine. You can be Poe.
Would you like to be Finn or
I'll be Finn.
Okay, my car is named after Finn. Anyway,
you
I'll
can
be Rey. No, it's okay.
Can we end up this on a hug? Like an actual physical hug?
You can't record a hug, but for everyone listening, we're going end on a hug.
Yes.
This has been the greatest Saturday of my 2019. And
the second
if
to last
Chris
Saturday
is still listening, it is still better than the Saturday I got engaged. So. He understands why. This is my podcast with you. And I hate hearing myself talk, so this is going to be a lot.
Where can people find you, Meredith?
Just search at MeredithSmith11 everywhere.
Yes.
I have the same username everywhere. I love followers. Thank you.
All right,
please follow Meredith.
Let's hug it out.
Hug it out.
Okay. Oh.
Bye, friends.
Bye.